Well, it's great to be here. When I walked in this morning, I thought I was home. Our church auditorium is just exactly like this one. It's laid out just exactly like this one. We have different color carpeting, but three things. Number one, your auditorium reminds me of home. Number two, you support the Stephen Raines family, and we do at our church. And thirdly, this church reminded me of home because you folks are so friendly. I'm serious. I walked in, my wife and I. By the way, Miss Roseanne, would you raise your hand? My beautiful wife of 31 years later this month. And so many of you come up, introduced yourself, and thanked us for being here. You may not do that after the message, but we do thank you for having us. Even Pastor Brian knows my head pastor, right? You poor gentleman. We love Pastor Sean. If you have your Bibles, would you go with me to the book of Luke? And that's a bad thing to say in a fundamental church, if you have your Bibles. Take your Bibles, all right? You should have them with you, all right? So take your Bibles, go with me to Luke chapter 5. And I want to speak on a passage of Scripture that had a major impact on my life. And I want to share it with you. I was born again. I was a Christian. I'd been a Christian for probably 40 years when this passage of Scripture hit me. But it changed my life. I got saved back in November 9th of 1971. And been saved almost 50-some years now. Been over 50 years. But the last 10 years, this passage of Scripture impacted my life like none other. And by the way, don't be afraid to say amen, all right? Because that's like saying sick 'em to a dog when you say amen to a preacher, all right? It just encourages us to keep on keeping on. And by the way, tell your Commander Bill that I was a missionary in Romania, and the services over there would go two and a half hours. So that Awana meeting might be 1:30, 2 o'clock. No, I'll let you out before then. Take your Bibles, and here we go. In Luke chapter 11. I'm sorry, Luke 5. I misquoted myself. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your help there. Hey, when you're my age, even finding the Bible's good, all right? I don't know about you, but on my mirror in the bathroom, I have Clyde, brush your teeth, comb your hair, shave, you know, because we forget things at this age. So anyway, Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, Jesus is speaking, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy will I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishers, and their nets break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which was in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, They forsook all and followed him. Father, we ask as we look into this precious passage of scripture this morning, you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Let your words come forth. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit work in each and every life here this morning. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever done anything you didn't want to do? I think probably all of us could raise our hand to that. Maybe it was something when you were younger and you had chores to do around the house. I can remember my dad, he was an avid hunter. He loved hunting. And one of the things he loved to hunt was cottontail rabbits. And cottontail rabbits, he had beagle dogs. And he had sometimes as many as 8 beagle dogs at one time. And I'm 10, 11 years old. And he says, Clyde, you're big enough now to feed and water the dogs and to clean out the dog pens. Oh, wonderful. That's what a 10, 11-year-old boy wants to do. Now, it wasn't so bad in the summertime. But in the wintertime, we didn't have electric buckets to keep the water from freezing. Oh, no. I'd have to take those metal buckets and your hands would be freezing and you take them into the house, rinse out the ice to get them out, and then put fresh water in and go back out. And oh, it was terrible. And then Daddy went and planted a garden. And he says, Clyde, you're old enough now, you can weed the garden. Now, wait a minute. That's going to take my softball time away. That's going to take my bike riding time away. But you know what? I did it. I didn't want to, but I did. And you know, maybe you've been asked to do something, a job maybe, that no one else wanted to do. Maybe you do that because of respect for that other person, or you know the consequences if you don't do it. I knew the consequences that I would suffer if I didn't do the dog pens and weed the garden. Daddy was from the old school. He had a belt about 2 inches wide. He knew where to apply it too, where it would do a lot of good. It might cause a little pain, but it did a lot of good. But you know, sometimes God will ask us, you and I, believers in Christ, young, old, to do something for him we just don't want to do. And that's the case we find here in Luke chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, Jesus tells Peter, go on out and go fishing again. Peter's called to do something by the Lord Jesus Christ that he did not want to do. However, because it was Jesus who asked this thing of Peter, Peter complied. This morning, I want to look at this passage of Scripture, and especially just one phrase in this passage of Scripture that I would pray would help develop in you and I the mindset that Peter had. Would you go with me to verse 5? And Simon answering, now the Lord told him to go out into the draught and let down the nets. And Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night. That word toil, if you look it up in your concordance, means they labored. They spent energy all night long casting the nets and hauling them up. Casting the nets and hauling them up. And you can imagine after so many times throwing in the net and hauling up nothing, not even one little fish. And Jesus says, Peter, go on back out. Wait a minute, Lord. Whoa, wait a minute. Now, I'm a fisherman. You're a carpenter. I know a little bit more about fishing than you do. I know that the fish come up during the nighttime to feed. Not in the daytime. In the daytime, the sun drives them down into the deep. Lord, you're really confused. You don't know how to fish. Well, look at what Peter says here. Verse 5. And Simon Peter answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night. We haven't taken anything. Now, here's the phrase I want you to grasp tonight. I want you to take this phrase and apply it to your life, because when the Lord struck me with it, it had a major impact on my life. Nevertheless, at thy word I will. Now, did you get that? Yep. Nevertheless, at thy miracles I will. No. Nevertheless, at all the promises you are going to do, I will. No. God's word was good enough for Peter. Is it good enough for you? When God tells you to go out into the deep and let down the net, are you willing to do it? Are you willing to do it? Lord, I'm not capable of this. I think Pastor so-and-so could do a much better job. Listen, when God speaks to you and speaks to your heart, it's the God of divine wisdom. And God never makes a mistake. And when God asks us to do something, maybe, ladies, it's to take a cake or a pie over to a shut-in. Men, maybe it's just to help clean the church. Maybe it's to teach a Sunday school class. Whatever God asks you to do, are you willing to say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will? You know the problem with Christendom today? Too many of God's people are not willing to say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. I assume, I don't know, but I assume this church has a visitation program. And I can assume, I don't know, but I can assume that God's spoken to your heart about speaking to somebody about the Lord, and you haven't done it. Why? Did God make a mistake to ask you to witness to that person? Is our God a God of mistakes? God is a God of divine wisdom. And you know what? When God asks you to do something, my dear brother or my dear sister, he knows you can do the job. And you know, when God spoke that to me, and like I said, I was saved about 40 years before this hit me, and I had read this passage of Scripture numerous times as you have. And God says, Clyde, are you willing to do what I ask you no matter what? Nevertheless, Lord, at thy word I will. So we see here, first of all, that it was a night of struggle for Peter. They struggled all night. Jesus was by the seashore, and he tells Peter after he got done preaching a message, he says, go out into the deep. Now, who told Jesus they hadn't caught any fish? Nobody. Nobody. You don't read it here. He's on the shore. Peter and his crew come in, and they've docked their boats, and they've taken their nets, and they're washing them, and they're mending them. And Jesus gets done with his message, and he says, Peter, go on back out. And Peter says, Lord, we've toiled all night. We haven't caught one fish, not even one. Now, we stop and think about that. I'm an avid fisherman. I love to fish. All right? I don't do well sometimes, but that's okay. Remember this, my dear friend, a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. All right? So, I love fishing. But I do it for recreation. Peter and his friends do it for their occupation. They would bring their fish in the morning light, and they would sell what they could, and then they would take some home to feed the family. This was a serious situation. They didn't even have one fish to sell. They didn't have one fish to take home to their family. They were without anything. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus says, hey, let's go back out, Peter. Peter says, Lord, we haven't caught anything. We've labored all night, and they've taken nothing. In fact, if you want to put it this way, they were failures. They failed to produce even one fish. And Jesus says, go on back out. I want to ask you the question this morning. Why did they fail? Why did they fail? They knew how to fish. I mean, they were professional fishermen. They knew the best time to fish. They knew where to fish. These folks knew the waters they were on. They had been there night after night after night fishing. They were professionals. And yet, I'm going to give you a good Greek lesson here. It says, we've caught nothing. You know what that nothing means in the Greek? Now, this is a tough one. Not even one. All right? Now, you're Greek scholars. All right? Nothing means not even one. So their failure had nothing to do with the fact that they were fishermen. Their failure came because the Lord Jesus wanted to teach them a much needed lesson. And here's the lesson that you and I need to learn. That without him, you can do nothing. These men were professional fishermen, but God's teaching them a lesson. Hey, I created the fish. I can bring them up or I can keep them down. But I got a lesson for you. Without me, Peter, James, John, you can't do anything. And isn't that true in our life? Isn't that true in our life? Without him, we cannot do anything. Many times our struggles and failures in the church are the result of the failure or the failure of God's people failing to do God's business God's way. You know, the modern church has all the technology, all the machinery, everything they need to play church. But playing church is not necessarily God's way. We're guilty of trying to duplicate the activities of others. Well, church down the road does this, we're going to do that. Well, did God tell you to do that? Well, you know what? We're going to, you know, Pastor so-and-so over here preaches like this, and maybe we ought to preach like that. No. You do business God's way, not man's way. And here's what we need to remember when we face the opportunity to serve. Our success, our failure, determines where Jesus Christ is in the picture. Amen? Our success, our failure is determined where Jesus Christ fits in the picture. You ever hear people pray this? Lord, use me. Probably all of us have prayed that, haven't we? But you know what? That's not the prayer to pray. You want to know what the prayer to pray is? Lord, make me usable. Why? God already wants to use you. How do I know that? You're here this morning. You're breathing. God's not done with you. He's got a service for you. I don't know what it is. It may be to visit a sick one in the hospital. It may be to pray for your pastoral staff, your deacon staff, your Awana group coming up. I don't know, but God's got something for you to do. Make yourself usable. God wants to use you, my dear friend. God wants to use you, each and every one of you. You say, well, I'm old. I can't do much anymore. My mother-in-law, bless her heart, my first wife, I don't know if you know this or not, but my wife and I were in Germany, my first wife, and she came down with cancer, and she passed away in 1992. Roseanne's first husband passed away in 1994, and then the Lord brought us together, and we'll have 31 years, September 24th. But my mother-in-law, my first wife, bless her heart, she was old, and she'd say, oh, I just wish the Lord would take me home or anything I can do. And I says, Mom, can you pray? Oh, yeah, I can pray. I said, well, pray for me. I need it. I said, pray for your pastor. He needs it. Pray for your children. They need it. Well, I guess I can do something, can't I? We can all do something. But the problem is we got to be usable. We got to be willing to say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Jesus said this in John chapter 15. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. Now there's the thing we need to realize. And I in him bringeth forth much fruit. And what's the next phrase? For without me, you can do nothing. Where's Jesus in your picture today? Oh, I know you come to church. Bless your heart. You come Sunday morning. You come Sunday night. You come Wednesday. You work in Awanas. You sing in the choir. You play the instruments. But where's Jesus in it? Where's Jesus in it? We often fail because we don't have faith strong enough to trust God in everything. Let me give you a good example of faith, all right? How many of you, when you came into this auditorium this morning, went to that pew you're sitting in, and you checked it out to see if it would hold you? How many of you, since you've been coming to Grace, have written to the manufacturer of the pew company and asked them what the weight limit was? Nobody. Why? You've got faith in something man-made. Why don't we have that same kind of faith in our Savior? It's just a question I'm asking. If we can put so much faith in a pew that man-made, why can't we put that same kind of faith into what God asks us to do? It was a night of struggle for Peter and his friends, but it also was a morning of surrender. These men come in from fishing. They're tired. They're frustrated. They're discouraged. They're defeated. You ever been like that? Probably most of us, if we're honest. We get frustrated at times. We get discouraged. We get tired. And the last thing any of them wants to do is to go back out fishing. That's the last thing they wanted to do. How do I know that? Because the Bible says they were washing their nets. They were done for the day, or the night, I should say. They'd come in. They're done fishing. They didn't want to go back out. Now, Peter could have made a lot of excuses, couldn't he? Lord, we've worked all night. I'm tired. I'm going home. How about this? Lord, I'm a professional fisherman. You're just a carpenter. You know your business. I know mine. Lord, we've been doing this for years, and the best fishing's at night. That's when the fish come up to feed, not in the daylight, Lord. The sun drives them down deep, Lord. Our nets won't go that deep. Lord, you've been preaching, and these people on the shore have been talking, making all sorts of noise. They've scared the fish away. Lord, we've already washed our nets. Lord, you know religion, but we know fishing. How many of us are guilty of making excuses of serving the Lord? Well, so-and-so is more eloquent. So-and-so is more educated. So-and-so has more social skills. What are you saying when you say that, when the Lord's spoken to you? Lord, you made a mistake. Lord, how can we say that? How can we say, God, you made a mistake to the one who has divine wisdom? But we do it, don't we? Yeah, we do. If we're honest, we do. Self-included. This time, they go out, they lay down their nets, and the Bible says they got so many fish, the nets started to break, they had to call their partners over, and they filled both ships. So what made the difference? Let me give you just three or four areas. Number one, submission. Submission. Peter said, nevertheless, Lord, at thy word I will. When Peter said, Lord, he's saying, my master, my God, my controller of life, the one who I have put my trust in. Lord, I am submitting myself to your word, and I'm going to go back out. Did he want to? No. He was tired, frustrated, discouraged, defeated. But he says, I'm going to go, Lord. I got faith and trust in you. I'm going to go. Hebrews 13, 17, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves. So here's the question. I know I told the people in the sound booth I would stay close to this, but sometimes it's hard because I want to go over here. But here's the thing. Are you willing to make the Lord, your Lord, the ruler of your life? I didn't say that you know the Lord. We all know the Lord. You know, in the Bible, in the New Testament, when it mentions Jesus as Savior 12 times, when it mentions Jesus as his Lord, it's over 450 times. I know Jesus is your Savior. You've trusted him in his precious blood on the cross of Calvary that was shed, and you've accepted him as your personal Savior, and if you died this morning, you know you would go to heaven. I have no problem with that. I know that too in my life. But the question is he your Lord? Is he your Lord? You know what? I like this church. There's no clock. Oh, I got a few minutes yet. I call a clock in a church Satan's tool, all right? I don't know why a church would put a clock. Oh, they got one up here. This church isn't as spiritual as I thought you were. So, hey, by the way, didn't Jesus say that he came to give his life and have it more abundantly? Now, this is a rabbit trail, but I don't care too much for dill pickle Christians. You know what a dill pickle Christian is? They act like they sucked on a dill pickle all day. No, hey, you and I are saved by the precious blood of God. We're going to heaven. Ought we not rejoice in that? Does not the Bible says rejoice, and again I say rejoice? Come on, we're God's people, and we can rejoice, and we are serious about preaching the Word of God. I'm not making light of that. But I ask you this morning, is Jesus your Lord? I know he's your Savior. For 5 years I was saved. I got saved November 9th. It was a Tuesday night in Pastor Bob Prang's office back in St. John's, Michigan. And I got saved. My wife and I got saved the same night. It was a Tuesday night, by the way. We had been going to Grove Bible Church for a number of weeks, and the Holy Spirit was working in our life and in our heart. And one day, Pastor Prang said, I just feel that the Holy Spirit has spoken to someone's heart today, and would you just tell me at the door you'd like to talk to me? So I fought my way through the invitation. You know how it is. I looked at my wife, and bless her heart, we'd been married 3 years, and we were about that far from divorce. I'm serious. And it wasn't her fault. It was mine. But I looked at my wife, and I says, I think we need to talk to him. And so you know how people operate. We waited until most everybody was gone. Normally, we're the first ones out of the church, but we waited. And I said, Pastor Prang, my wife and I would like to talk to you. And he said, that's great. But then I said, but not tomorrow night. Monday night's my bowling night. Now, isn't that the way unsaved people think? Sure. It's the way I thought. You know, I was unsaved. I didn't know bowling was important to me. And he says, okay, how about Tuesday night? I said, okay. He says, how about 7 o'clock? You can come to the church office. I said, okay, that's fine. And my wife and I went there, and I had two kids, Pam and Nick. Pam was 3. Nick was about 1.5. And for kids, they were well-behaved, I kid you not, except that night. I couldn't believe. It had to be my wife's side of the family. They were dumping over his waste baskets. They were... I mean, they never did this. But old Satan was working, I think. But anyway, finally I told Pastor Prang, I said, how about if I take the kids down to the nursery, you speak with Karen, and then I'll come down and you can speak to me. And he says, oh, great, praise the Lord. And I don't know if he actually said that out loud, but in his eyes it looked like it. And so I took the kids down to the nursery. About 15 minutes later, my wife come down and she's just crying. Tears just rolling down her face. And here I am, I'm going to be the big protector. What did he do? And all my wife could say was, oh, Clyde, it's so good. It's so good. And so I said, well, okay. And so I went down and talked to Pastor Prang. And he went through the four spiritual laws with me and led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just started crying. Why? Because it's so good. And Jesus Christ became my Savior November 9th of 1971. For 5 years, I attended Grove Bible Church. For 5 years, I never let Jesus Christ be the Lord of my life. There was things that I held on to that he wanted. And one of the things he wanted was my family. I grew up in a home where my daddy wasn't saved. My daddy was a dictator, not a director. And what daddy said went. And that's the way I was brought up. And so I'm going to protect my family no matter what. And there was numerous times I went to the altar at the front of the church and I said, Lord, here's my wife, here's my kids. And by the time I got back to the pew, I'd taken them back. I wouldn't let Jesus be the Lord of my family. 5 years. 5 years. Finally, I went forward and I said, Lord, here's my wife, here's my kids. If you want to take them home today, that's fine. I'll miss them, but they're yours. And I meant it. That day, 5 years after my salvation, I let Jesus be my Lord. Since that time, he's directed me to Bible school. He directed me to teach in a Christian school out in Pennsylvania. I've been to Germany as a missionary. I've been to Romania as a missionary. But God couldn't use me until I was willing to make Jesus Christ my Lord. Now, he may be your Savior today, but I ask this question again. Is he your Lord? Is he your Lord? What made the difference? Submissive. Being submissive. What made the difference? Humility. Humility. Yea, and all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Acts 20:19. Serving the Lord with humility. Submission, humility, and then obedience. Even when Peter didn't want to do what the Lord asked him to do, he's willing to be submissive and humbled himself and was obedient. Now, time's running, and I don't want to pretend I'm in Romania. So would you go with me to verse 8? I'm going to skip a few verses. Go with me to verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Stop right there. Did you catch that? In verse 5, Jesus is standing up talking to Jesus. He says, Lord, we toiled all night. We've done everything. In verse 8, he's on his knees before Jesus. What made the difference in three verses? It wasn't the miracle of the catch. Oh, no. What made the difference was that Peter saw his own wickedness in the light of Christ's holiness. Folks, that's what's going to change us. When we see how wicked we are and how holy God is, the closer we get to God, the closer we get to the Lord Jesus Christ, we see ourselves more clearly, don't we? And we see that we have things in our life that shouldn't be there. The Bible tells us our heart is deceitful. And it is. Our heart tries to tell us, oh, we're pretty good. Look, I'm in church this morning. Guess what? I'll be in church tonight. Oh, the devil likes to get us, doesn't he? Listen. When we serve the Lord, it better be from the heart. Not because it's required of us. We have a philosophy at our church, and I tell this over and over again. Don't serve the Lord and lets the Lord ask you to serve him. What do I mean by that? If Pastor or I ask you, would you be willing to teach Sunday school? Don't you teach Sunday school because Pastor or I ask you to teach Sunday school. That's man asking. Pray about it. See what God says. And you know what? It's okay to say no if it's the right reason. So in closing, let me ask you this. Is the Word of God enough for you? I mean, are you willing to say, Lord, speak to me, and whatever you say, I'll do? Now, that's kind of intimidating, isn't it? We're asking Almighty God, the God of all wisdom, all knowledge, Lord, show me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. We ought not be afraid, because if God asks you to do something, he'll provide the way for you to do it. Listen, when God asked Peter, when Christ asked Peter to let down the net, he didn't want to do it. However, he did what the Lord wanted him to do despite his own wants and his own wishes. Are you willing to do that today? And the results were so better than a person could imagine. One draught. They cast down the net, and they can't even bring it up. That's so heavy, and the net's starting to break. Listen, you want blessings in your life? Just do what God asks you to do. It might not be a load of fish, but he'll give you a blessing. So, Jesus has spoken his word. Now are you willing to cast down your nets? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, help it to sink into our heart and our life that it's not our will, but it's your word. Nevertheless, at your word, I will. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me just ask you this morning a couple of questions. You're here this morning, and we thank you for being here, but you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And maybe during the service, Jesus Christ says, you know what? You need to be saved. You know how to be saved. You've been here before. You've heard the messages, but you've just never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You may be a regular attender here. I don't know. But are you willing to let down your net today? Are you willing to let down your net and say, Lord, I need to be saved. I need Jesus as my Savior. Maybe he's talking to you, my dear child of God, to faithfulness and surrender. Will you let down your net? You say, I've been a member of this church for, oh, so many years. I didn't ask how many years you've been a member. I'm asking, are you going to be faithful to God and surrender to his word? Are you willing to let down your net? Husband, wife, has the Lord dealt with you about a renewed commitment to each other? Have you let down your net? Are you willing to let down your net? Ask God to work in your wife's life and your husband's life to renew that special relationship you had when you were married. Young person, maybe God's called you to have a renewed commitment with your parents. You know deep down you've been a little rebellious. Oh, you've been to church. Yeah, you come to church. Praise the Lord for that. But deep down, you know that there's been a little rebellion against your parents. Are you willing to let down your nets? Get things right? You may not like what the Lord's calling you to do today, but will you join Peter and say, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. No one can let down your net but you. Your pastors can preach the word of God to you. I preach the word of God to you. But you're the only one that can let down your net. And you know why you need to let it down this morning. The pianist and the organist are going to play softly. Would you please stand? heads bowed, eyes closed. And if the Lord's talked to you about letting down your net in any area of your life, would you come and give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm letting down my net. I'm going to do what you asked me to do because I'm willing to be submissive. I'm willing to be humble. I'm willing to be obedient to the Word of God. Where are you at this morning, my dear friend? You're special people. You're God's children. Let's get into a special relationship with Him this morning. Come. Pastor Brian, if you would come and take over the service.